Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Hey guys, welcome to the Boner Planet Podcast. Myself, Dave Thomas, today along with Tim Mazzarana, and we got from Buckmasters, Jackie Bushman. How are you, Jackie?
Guys, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Awesome.
Can't complain, man. Great to see you.
We really wanted to have you on the show, really to tell us a lot about the history of Buckmasters. I mean, I can remember it for a very long time ago, and so that's why I was like, I got to get Jackie on the show to tell us about this, because I don't really know the history of it, so I was hoping you could tell us, like, kind of go through the history of it and some of your experiences with it.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably one of the ones said, yeah, I've been watching you since I was in diapers. You know, I hear that all the time. So. My first comment, as I said, I helped Moses when he came off the boat to divide the animals, and I took the whitetail. So
there you go, man. I love it.
No, way back, I was a tennis professional. That's what I used to do for a living. I played professionally back in the 70s, and then I taught tennis for about 7 or 8 years here at the City Tennis Director here in Montgomery, Alabama. And my good friend was Ray Scott, who started the Bassmasters here in Montgomery.
Awesome.
And his sons and daughter were fraternity brothers and little sister of the fraternity and stuff. So that was Wilson and Steve and Jennifer. So I always just kind of grew up with the Bassmasters, and Ray was in my hunting club and told me what he did for the fishermen. So I had a crazy idea to try to do the same thing for deer hunters that he did for bass fishermen. And I was running the Blue Gray Tennis Tournament with my dad, and that's the biggest collegiate tennis tournament in the country. And Perry Mendel, who was the founder of KinderCare Corporation, was sponsoring the tournament and asked me what I wanted to do besides hit tennis balls to kids and old ladies the rest of my life. And I told him, I said, man, I'd love to do what Ray Scott did for bass fishing, do it for deer hunters. So he said, put some numbers together and let's see if it's worth trying. So that's how I kind of got started. I started out with an eight-track how-to video on how to hunt.
What's that?
That's what I'm saying. Were you even born then? So
I was. It was right at the tail end, but yes.
And I did an instructional tape on a basics of hunting the white-tailed deer. And golly, I hope they threw the master away on that thing. It was terrible. But it got us started. And I don't know, we sold 10 or 20,000 of them. And I got a chance to take this Buckmasters idea now after the videotape and go try to sell it to people. And that's what I did. I went out and sold them a concept, but I started it with a promotional event. Again, y'all weren't born here, but the NBC had a deal called the Superstars. It's where it took athletes like Joe Frazier or Bruce Jenner in his day. They would be doing track and swimming and all this stuff. So basically I took that concept and put it in an outdoors twist. I had hatchet throwing, skeet shooting, ATV obstacle, bow and arrow golf, rifle, bow hunting, you know, bow shooting and all that. And I had celebrities like Bo Jackson and Dale Earnhardt and Wade Boggs and did all that. And that's how it started. It was the Buckmasters Classic. And we had a deer hunt there at the same time, but the TV show was all about outdoor events. And that's awesome. How we started with a promotion. And once we got that started, we had a magazine, which I'd that we got the sponsors to put a four color page in. And that's kind of how the Buckmasters started.
That is amazing. How did you get into hunting? What's your background?
My grandfather got me going. My dad was a professional tennis player in his day, and he was really good, but that was his love. But I love to fish and hunt and do stuff with my grandfather. And it's kind of funny. My dad never could understand. My grandfather was from Rome, Georgia, and I was on a Southern tennis circuit, and I would win all the tournaments in front of the Rome tournament and behind the Rome tournament. He never could understand that. It just happened to be that it was a full moon, and my grandfather and I were going brim fishing, and I'd lose first round, so I'd go fishing with my grandfather. And my daddy to this day don't know that.
So. Get a little worn out there before the tournament, huh? Yeah. Doing what you love. I love it, man. That's
awesome. So my grandfather got me going. I really enjoyed it. And you know, it's either a sport you get hooked on or you don't.
Yeah.
I love tennis. I mean, I like tennis. I didn't love tennis because I just enjoyed the outdoors a little bit more. So, but in the 70s, there really wasn't money. You had to be in the top 30 of the world. And I was in the top 100, 125. Now, somebody top 100, 125 might have $1 million. So that's the reason I went back to tennis and then tried to start the Buckmaster. So I've gone from two hobbies. I've gone from shorts to camo.
Well, you can't beat that, though. I mean, doing two things that you love or that you like and love. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And to be able to influence all the different people you have over the years and bring them in. You know, that's one of the things that we love is watching that new generation coming into hunting. That's one of our passions is to get new hunters involved, get them knowledgeable on the different equipment and everything that's out there. And man, you've been doing it way longer than us. So, I mean, it's absolutely amazing to watch that progression over the years. So how have you seen the industry? Like, what would you say the biggest changes are that you've seen in the industry?
Well, as far as the television side, the cameras, I mean, when we first started, we were the first one to bring, deer hunting to cable television. The old American Sportsman, you know, way back, Kurt Gowdy and that group, you know, they went for 23 years. This is our 36th year. And I remember when I called the networks and said, hey, I want to do a hunting show. It was like, no, heck no, we're not doing a hunting show.
Yep, I can imagine.
And then I called back and said, well, look, I got this promotional event. You know, you got knife throwing and no hunting in it. I said, no hunting in it. So TNN back in the Nashville network days, that's where Bassmasters was, Bill Dance, Roland Martin, Hank Parker. So you had the fishing guys on there, but no hunting. I'll never forget. We put this on at Sunday night, October of 1988. We ran a pilot. So we'll run a pilot on your little event. And that was on Sunday night. On Monday, I was giving tennis lessons. I was soaking wet. Mr. Mendel called me, said there's a private plane that just flew in from Nashville, Tennessee with Gaylord Entertainment, Nashville Network. I want to meet with you. So I soaking wet, went up to the meeting. They said, boy, you just brought us the highest rated show we've ever had on the network with your little promotional event. We'd like to talk about doing the first hunting show on cable television. And that's how it started.
That's awesome.
And, but the cameras, guys, and it just drove me crazy. And I really, when I look back, that's why you didn't have hunting shows. You couldn't draw the light. So when you're hunting in the morning, I'm 30 minutes behind you. All my camera guys are doing, don't shoot. I don't have enough camera light. In the afternoons, I'm having to quit 30 minutes before prime time.
Yeah.
So I did all my shows in Texas the first years until the cameras got better. So that's the thing I've seen that changed a bunch on the TV side.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, we'll call it. I grew up in the video world. My dad was a wedding videographer. That's what he did from about 88, 89 through the rest of my, and still does it today. Back when he first started in the early 80s, before he did it full time, he was just kind of doing it as a hobby. You didn't have cameras that had cassettes in them. that you could, you know, move around portable like that. You had a separate recorder that had to plug into the camera mechanism, and you had to carry two pieces with you. Right. So, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, the way that we're able to capture those moments in life today, I mean, shoot, I probably have, I mean, just carrying with me, I got a regular video camera, you got your cell phone, you got all that kind of stuff. And just think, the technological advances in that world is absolutely amazing. So I think a lot of people forget about that struggle, right? Of you can't, I mean, you talk about self filming nowadays, you couldn't self film back then, even if you wanted to.
No way. And again, the cameras that we bought weighed 50 pounds.
Yeah.
They were $40,000 or $50,000.
Not waterproof either.
No. And now they weigh nothing and they cost about $5,000. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing that we struggle with is I would have a cameraman up behind me. Well, he's holding it on his shoulder. And the camera, you know, the footage was, you know, it wasn't great.
Yep. Shaky at best, right?
So then we had to develop a tree arm. Okay. And we built our own tree arm to put the camera on top of the tree arm to keep the footage steady. So now that somebody's in the tree arm business now because of starting to do outdoor television, because that's what you got to have.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's amazing. Just to see where everybody's come from. Now there's what, 400 hunting shows when we started all back in 88. So
yeah,
I got to compete with all these good looking women. I was going, dang.
So what's been your favorite? I know this is kind of a mix for you guys because you work with guns and bows. But I guess, do you prefer one over the other personally? Like, you rather bow hunt when you can, or how do you feel about that, I guess?
Well, I mean, I've always loved the challenge of bow hunt. And the crazy thing about it was, as a kid growing up, they didn't make left-handed bows. So I'm left-handed. I played every sport, you know, left-handed. But they didn't make left-handed bows, so I had to shoot right-handed. And you know, when you start doing that, everything's crisscrossing on you. And so when I started bow hunting, my sight was basically about 4 to 6 inches off the bow. You know what I'm saying? To be able to shoot right hand. And I could only shoot 20 yards. I mean, the further I got, the worse I got. So I finally had a guy said, look, you need to try left-handed because you are left eye dominant. So I finally got the guys to do that. And I was going, you know what? That's pretty cool right there. So, but I thoroughly enjoy the scouting part of the bow hunting side, because you got to get so much closer to the game.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people have no clue. I mean, bow hunting video is a pain in the rear end. Okay. Because now you got double the movement, double the scent, everything is going against you, and you're hunting the number one, you know, species in the world is a whitetail buck. So that is a challenge. You know, bow hunting was a challenge anyway. Put a cameraman out there and see how your success is. So everybody says they wanted to do my job. Let's have at it. Do that bow hunting video.
Go ahead and try. Come up.
And the folks that do a bow hunting show only, hey, cheers.
Yeah.
You're the best of the best, because I ain't got the patience to do it. But
I
really love that. And we do probably, what, 4 or 5 bow hunting shows. And I thoroughly enjoy it, because I just know everything scouting-wise has got to tighten up and try to get in. And my wheelhouse is about 35 yards. That's what I feel comfortable shooting. Yep. And it's just the cat and mouse of knowing here he comes. Then there's so many pieces to the puzzle in bow hunt. I mean, you know, you got to be able to know when to draw, when not to draw. You know, I prefer to grunt at the deer, you know, but I got to be at full draw. I look for trees out in front of me, try to get the eyes of the deer where they can't see me. And people, you know, I'm from Alabama. We're hunting 35 foot up in the tree and these deer still look up. So I'm always a big believer on trying to see where the eyes of the deer are. If you can see their eyes, they can see you move. So there's just so many pieces, but when you finally make it work, and especially on video, man, it's a reward. I tell you, it's tough.
Can you imagine how many beautiful bucks have been missed due to like self filming or trying to film bow hunting? Like I think about it, even like kids, we do a lot more self filming, and I can vaguely remember just, you know, any movement, anytime the deer always in. So that I've always been the firm believer of, you just really have to kind of read the deer, like especially a whitetail. Like, is it like alert? Is it not alert? Like, you got to, all that stuff plays a factor before you draw that bow. Is it searching around? Is it, you know, I mean, there's been times where I pull back a bow and I had to hold it for like 5 minutes solid, just waiting for a deer to come out. And I was going to ask you about that, about your thoughts on just the archery industry and how it's changed for the bow manufacturer specifically and the designs, because, you know, these last few years, I held that bow for like 4.5 minutes because of the 80% let off, and I could do it, and it hurt, but I could do it, you know, whereas, you know, back in the day, that would not have been possible with 60% or 50%.
Exactly. And, you know, I got arrows still stuck in trees just for that point, where I was trying to let down, watching the deer walk, and I was anticipating him go to the right, and he kept coming straight at me. I'm full draw. I mean, I've got an old labor muscle right here. It's torn and I can't hold it. So I'm trying to let it down, but it just takes off. It's probably it's my second biggest buck ever. It was a double drop down 175 inch deer.
Wow.
Thank God the wind was blowing at 20 miles an hour. You know, he jumped over there and finally settled down, but you know, that deer was just meant to be. But yeah, I can definitely say, you know, with the let off, you know, moving up, it's made a big difference, especially where you got a hole. But I try not to have to hold anymore than I have to. Once I get there, I pretty much go. I can't hold
it. I feel like that's one of the worst things you have to do as an archer is when you have to let down. Like, I hate that feeling. Like, if I get stuck in that position, I'm like, I got to let it down.
Yeah.
I can't stand it because I'm so scared that I'm going to make the wrong move, or that's going to hear me, it's going to see me, all that extra movement.
Yep.
And that's like the worst feeling. I mean, Tim doesn't know that. Tim's a crossbow hunter, so he doesn't really understand what we're talking about right now, because his is always held back no matter what, just a finger that's off right. The trigger thing, like a gun, I guess. But in the sense of holding the bow and having to know when to bring it back, that's a hard decision, like not going to the hold the whole time. But it hurts.
Don't quit on me. Don't quit.
After a while, you start shaking.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I noticed, and somebody taught me this, is that, you know, you see a lot of folks, they go way up high and do all that. That means they're just pulling too much poundage, and you ought to be able to just go straight back, keep your movement. So I see so many people that they, you know, oh yeah, I got to pull 65, 70, 80 pounds. Well, that's great. But if the whitetail sees you, you know, you can call yourself muscle man or whatever, but these bows are fast enough now. The arrows are quick enough.
Yeah, that's definitely been the trend. I mean, we've seen a lot, you know, a lot of people comment, and also manufacturers as well, coming out with those, you know, poundages that are just, you know, I sit there and think, and I wouldn't want to shoot it. And again, Dave was saying, you know, I'm more of a crossbow shooter by nature anyway, but I've seen plenty of deer from my buddies, Dave and other people that can get them at 40, 45, 50, 55 pounds.
Yeah.
It's all about the hunt and your setup and, you know, making the right shot and everything like that. And what I love to see actually more and more right now is a really big comeback. And I don't know if you really call it a comeback, but a lot more attention being paid to traditional archery. I think it's absolutely amazing to see that side of it really come back into focus.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always say, you know, let's don't fight amongst each other.
That's
use
it.
The weapon that you like to use, whether it's traditional, whether it's compound, it doesn't make any difference, whether it's crossbow, just go use the weapon you like. But then you got to study it. You got to know what it can and can't do. You need to be able to bow tune your bow. I mean, that's something I never knew anything about, but you know, you want your equipment to be the best it can be to match up to the situation. So, you know, when the big buck comes in there, there's a lot of things going to happen, and you got to put that whole puzzle together. So I was in Alberta, Canada, and had a big deer come in, and it was like minus 10 when my peak popped off. Okay. There I am, you know, with no peak. I mean, I've been hunting all week and there he is. Peak pops off. So there's so many things that can happen. You know, your release falling off. I mean, I can name you everything because it's all happened, and it just happened on camera and stuff. But
yeah,
golly, what a frustrating deal. But to make it all happen, nothing better in the world. I can say the reward is a lot more than any other weapon. I can promise you that.
Yeah. So whether it's archery or firearm, what's been your most memorable hunt?
How many hunts? Let's see. He's probably been.
I know. That's a hard There's question. A lot, I'm sure.
When you say memorable,
the most memorable.
Most memorable to me was in Myrtlewood, Alabama, when I was 15 years old, with a shotgun with double aught buckshot and a 6-inch spike right out there at 30 yards. And that was my first deer.
That's
and
awesome.
I answer that question the same way every time.
That is awesome.
Everybody said, oh, yeah, I'm sure it was the 190 you shot in Alberta or the 180 something with a bow. Those are great moments, but my first most memorable is when I got my first deer.
That's awesome. What about places to hunt? Like, what are your favorite places?
I like Alberta. Alberta, Canada has been very good to me. That is where I've taken most of my biggest deer with archery and gun. And they just have that unique northern breed of deer, and they're just 300 pounders and just, I don't know, something about the snow and the frost and everything. It's a pretty cool moment when you see those big guys walk out there.
Do you start planning that now, or do you do that wait like a couple years in advance for your?
No, I mean, if y'all watch the show over the years, we've kind of stayed with the same outfitters and stuff, because basically we've had to teach them how to video hunt. And you know, hunting is one thing, and you know, they're taking clients, but to video hunt, you've got to have a little bit more room. You want to get in the thick of places you can, but you just don't want a deer to step in a hole and then shoot because you don't have any videotape that you're burning. So we have to teach them kind of the setups that we're wanting to see and we're wanting to deliver to the TV audience. And so that's kind of what we've done.
Has COVID really impacted your ability to do that up in Alberta?
Oh yeah. We didn't get to go last year. I can't tell you where they were going this year. Not either. So that would,
I was hoping they would list hunting as an essential job, right? Well, so we can go up there, but
I think it is. I personally think so too. Yeah.
I think so too.
Absolutely.
You know, I was just thinking, Jack, I was looking at your website and I was looking at some of the sponsors you guys work with, and Gammo being one of them. Uh-huh. I did not realize this. And I bet you Tim didn't know this either. And I just found this out, but Gammo, I don't know if they own or whatever, but they're part of Daisy. Mm-hmm. So like the Red Ryder BB gun from the Christmas story. Like I was just looking, I go, what the heck? That's awesome. You know, what a great, but anyway, you guys had a podcast on your website that said, I didn't get to listen to it. I just saw it. I'm going to listen to it after we talk, but it says, deer hunting with air guns.
Mm-hmm.
What can you deer hunt with an air gun, and what caliber air gun would you need?
They've got a 50 caliber PCP. That we've done. And it's loaded with CO2, and we've shot deer and shot hogs, shot coyotes and everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
I thought you were doing the Gammo thing. I was sitting there going, here's a group that wants a pellet gun and a deer hunt. So I was going, how am I going to make that? But I tell you what I did, and you've probably seen it. The Squirrel Master Classic is the biggest small game event in the world right now. And me and Waddell got to arguing over who could be better. And we turned it into a huge event. I had Bo Jackson, my friend, come last year, 2 years ago, couldn't do the COVID, but boy, we've turned that thing into the thing with 4-H kids, and just going back to our roots. That's how I started. I started hunting, squirrel hunting with my grandfather and stuff.
Yeah.
We were doing it with 22s, but these Gammos now, they're shooting 1,400 feet per second. So,
wow, it's incredible. Yeah.
We're shooting 45 squirrels with a friggin' pellet gun in 2.5 days.
I love it. Wow. I love it. That actually sounds really fun for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So those little suckers, I'll tell you, maybe – I don't know. It's difficult to decide between squirrels and blue jays, which ones are the most annoying when you're out there sitting on your hunt.
No question. But that squirrel is pretty slick. And I just remember that takes me back to my grandfather's, that he used to have a dog, and we bring in these world champion dogs, and that squirrel will just slide around that tree, and then getting him to slide back where you can see him. And that dog starts barking. There's a squirrel in that tree. You got to find it. And they're amazing at how they lay flat on the limbs and stuff. And we're out there plinking with pellet guns, and it's a hoot, man.
Now that sounds like a ton of fun. That actually takes me back to my young days too, going out. That's there's just something about walking around, and it's action, right? I mean, that's really, that's the exciting part about it, is that there's a lot of action with it. So.
And that's how you can get these young kids going. I always tell them, the worst thing you do is stick a kid in a tree stand, tell him shut up and he's cold. Get him out there, let him plink, squirrel hunting, dove hunting, you know, something, there's some action. And then you graduate them up into the deer hunts.
It's a great tip. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We've owned Boner Plant for since 2009. Now we've been really focused on archery, and archery has been something I grew up on and love. I love archery. So it was one of the things I pushed Tim originally, like, hey, we need to start this. It'd be fun. And Tim was never a hunter, so this was a great experience for him to come on and learn to hunt and all these different things. But anyhow, we bought Bow Hunter Planet and Gun Hunter Planet years ago. And so this year we decided we're going to start working towards turning on Gun Hunter Planet, just because of how hot guns are right now and everything going on. But it's been kind of exciting, to be honest, like a little bit exciting because it's something new, maybe, you know, because we're so used to doing one thing. But I'm excited for the kids, like to get them out. This is the first year I actually bought my son a 20 gauge, you know, to go turkey hunting. It's always been bow or crossbow, you know, because of bow and plan. We're always like, oh, you got to have a bow, you know? So it's been kind of exciting. And the whole idea of plinking and doing 22 squirrel hunting, all that is like, got me really excited for the fall. Like, I just want to take them out, walk around and try it, you know, and have fun with it. I did when I was a kid, but you know, I haven't passed that on yet. It's my point, because I've been so, you know, bow this, bow that, you know, so this is, it's pretty exciting.
Get them across the board. And my grandson, he's 5. I had him out. He had his Daisy Red Rider and he was plinking while we were squirrel hunting. And you know, and then you just graduate them into the different weapons. That's what I say.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. He just have finished up his safety courses in Michigan here. And so, Tim, I don't know if you know that, but you can do it online now. It's virtual. Then you can go out and train your child how you want to do it, but, very exciting. And, it's going to be a good time. So what's going to happen this year with the shows? Do you guys have, when did they start launching? I guess, will the new stuff air in the fall or how's that work?
They start in July.
July. Okay, great.
So everything we video in the fall ahead of time will always air, starting in July. Originals come on in July.
How many shows do you guys have?
Well, we got the Buckmasters and the Jackie Bushman show, and they run on the Outdoor Channel. We're on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock. That's the same time I started Buckmasters on the Nashville Network way back. So we've had that time for a long time.
Who's your oldest sponsor you guys have?
You know, my number one sponsor, very first one was Tinks.
Tinks, nice.
Yeah. So we got 7 sponsors that have been with us for 36 years.
Wow.
Easton is one of them.
That's awesome.
Yamaha ATVs, Realtree. There's a few other ones. So we've been blessed. We've been very blessed, and we've watched. It's fun to watch companies grow. I remember the Tinks folks; they were just, you know, bottling scent and selling it, and this and that. And boy, how big that industry has gotten! So,
it's always fun too. I think when you get to test the products with these companies, they obviously rely on you to help them test a Yamaha or whatever it is, you know. Yep. And it's fun to be one of the first to actually play with something new to see, and then give them that feedback, like, "Hey, I like it. I hate it. You know, whatever." We've been able to do that a lot with our show over the years and different, all sorts of things, from broadheads to releases, you name it, mostly archery related, of course. But I've always think that's like the funnest thing. When I get a bow like 2 months early before it even launches, to me, that's like the best thing ever. I'm like, where do I sign the NDA? Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm old school. I mean, I had a rifle that, golly, I've shot hundreds of deer with it, and the sponsors always want to send me the new event. I'm just old school. I'm fine with my old one. You know what I'm saying? Same with the bows. You know what I'm saying? I just got used to this one. I like this. I shot a lot of deer. Here comes a new one. So I got a lot of folks around here. They love the tech stuff and doing all that. I could never string my tennis racket. No, I'm not much on equipment and stuff. But, you know, I got some guys that fix up my bow. I said, just fix it up. Let me shoot it right. I'm ready to go. So, but I'm just not a tech person. Never have, but that's all right.
That's cool. What would you say is your oldest gun you might have that you, like maybe your dad gave you or it came?
Well, no, my grandfather gave me all of his, and there's a Savage 22 410 combination.
Wow. Really?
That I got. Yeah. I mean, it's a cool little old gun.
That's cool.
I just saw it. I had it in my closet for a long time, and I just pulled it out the other day, and my grandfather gave me that, you know. And then, as I said, I've got shotguns from way back. I mean, my dad, everything was right-handed. They didn't make left-handed stuff. They still don't make enough left-handed stuff. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I got some old stuff. I mean, I remember I shot my first deer with a Fred Bear whitetail hunter. I still got that bow hanging up. And Fred Bear was my idol because he was left-handed. And that's, I always wanted to get a grizzly bear like he did on the Old American Sportsman. And I finally made that dream come true. I had 2 grizzly bears on the ground at 30 yards.
No way.
If that'll get your old pucker factor up,
kidding.
That's incredible. Kidding.
I know a deer's not going to get me, but when you're hunting the top of the food chain, it's a whole different ball game. But I always say, you know, grizzly bear hunting, when you go into camp, you know, you want to look at your guides, okay? You want to pick the biggest, fattest guy who eats the most, because when it comes to, you know what, and it's hitting the fan, all you got to do is be able to outrun your guy and you'll be all right.
You don't have to be the fastest. You just have to be faster than the slowest.
Faster than your guy. So I always say, sit there and watch him eat. And that guy that wants that extra hamburger, that's the one you want to pick.
That reminds me of the old story, Dave, when we went to Yellowstone. And I'm sitting there on crutches and you're running away from a bear and he runs right past me and he just doesn't stop, doesn't look or anything. He just keeps going. I'm like, what's going on? You know, and he's running from a bear.
I figured this guy's on crutches. He's dead first if it's behind.
Exactly. You just got to know. All you got to do is outrun somebody. First one in loses on that deal.
That was my only encounter with a grizzly bear in my life was at Yellowstone. And honestly, I went up over a hill, like a ridge, like a little hill, and I know there was a bear in the region, but I just didn't know where. And as soon as I got to the peak of the hill, it came over the peak of the other hill across from me that was 40 yards from me. And it was like looking at me, stood up on its legs. I think it was a big female and it had a cub. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And so I'm like backing up and Tim's brother was with us. He yelled at me, stop moving, which I wasn't sure if moving would be better or not better. I almost kind of wanted to see me. I don't want to like be walking that I scared the crap out of it at 5 yards. Either way, it turned and went the other way and I just booked it. I mean, we booked it out. And as we're running down the trail full speed, you know, for our lives, feeling like for our lives, Tim is crutching up on this crutch between us and we run right by him and just say, run.
I'm like, what do you mean? I can't even walk.
Yeah.
You see,
you know,
just
the survival
like...
of the fittest. I saw my life playing out.
If you can, you know, with a grizzly, at least climb a tree. They don't climb trees very good. Black bear can, but grizzly can't. They'll just shake you out of it, though.
They also say that with a grizzly bear, you actually really do need to play dead. And with because they're not gonna. It says something about grizzly bears don't really want to eat you necessarily, whereas a black bear actually would eat you.
Absolutely.
So you got to fight back on a black bear, but a grizzly you really don't want to fight back because it's going to keep attacking you until you're dead. It thinks you're dead, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I just try to outrun those.
Yeah, I definitely don't
try not to find out, right?
I don't want to find out, so I just hope my shot's good, and I don't have to worry about that. So have you
checked all of your big hunts off your bucket list, or you got some left that you want to do?
No, I've done most of them. I've taken a few, two or three moose. I'd like to shoot a moose with a bow. And I've tried to do that a couple of times. We just got canceled out on bad weather and stuff. So, but that maybe a mule deer. I'm not a big mule deer fan. I know a lot of folks love it. I'm just a whitetail guy, but I've shot a mule deer, a couple of mule deer with everything but a bow. So I think I might like to do both of those. And that's about it for me. I've awesome. Done most of them that I want to.
So are you traveling most of the fall?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we leave, Dave, we leave, what, middle of September, and then we'll hunt every day till February 10th.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah. And everybody wants my job. Come get you some of that.
Yeah. People don't realize the work that goes into these things. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just
usually on location 4.5-5 days to get 17 minutes and 40 seconds of editorial. And I always say, if you see us talking, there's a lot of eating and stuff like that. We've had a long week. So,
yeah. Heck yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. I can barely take off every weekend in October with the wife. So
yeah,
you got it good there. That's for sure.
Well, I've been blessed, but you know, she's had to raise both kids, take care of dying parents and raise 4 or 5 dogs. So, but that's what I do for a living and try to entertain as long as we got folks that want to watch. I'll keep screwing up on TV. So.
Well, you got two big fans here, man. We can't wait to see your new content coming up. And
yes, thank you for coming on today.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, my pleasure, guys. Anytime I can help y'all, y'all give me a buzz. I'd love to be back on the show. Y'all get the gun thing going. I got a bunch of crazy gun stories too.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you doing for what you do and keeping people engaged and going hunting, because that's a big deal. We got to grow the heritage. The only way to do it. It's people like you getting it done, and it's not easy to do. So hats off. Thank you. Buckmasters.com to learn more, guys, about Jackie Bushman and what he does. Thank you, Jackie. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank y'all.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.